Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
Mr. Big was a book Judith optioned after she read an article in Rolling Stone magazine about the complicated life of the man with the world's biggest penis.
Come on, that's a fascinating subject.
The only problem was, Mr. Big wasn't the happy-go-lucky guy winning in life that you would expect.
So now, 3 hours pass, and as the picks move by, number 5, number 9, number 11, number 15, Rogers is in free fall. Every time another name is called out, the cameras single in on him and his parents and his brother. Rogers is trying his best to look both hopeful and unaffected, like he's playing it cool. At the 3 hour mark, Rogers looks absolutely shell-shocked. Keep it together, he tells himself. Keep smiling.
Here at Unruly, we love all sports. We do it. We'll discuss all sports. We really
Badminton,
will.
Badminton, cricket.
Yes, cricket especially.
Rugby?
You got to twirl the R.
I don't know if I can.
Rugby. Oh, that was bad. All right. Moving on. I guess we're not going to like rugby. We hate rugby.
On the way today, samples from 30 for 30, Sports Wars, and the Unruly Sports Fan. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us at Apple Podcasts. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Wiser Advisors, Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and writing research and curation support from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. With baseball season in full swing and the NBA Finals right around the corner, it's a great time to be a sports fan. But if you're craving more heroics and heartbreaks that make professional sports so compelling, try out ESPN's 30 for 30 podcasts. From the creators of the acclaimed series featuring stories from the world of sports and beyond, comes a new set of stories specially tailored to their new audio format. The show offers captivating storytelling for sports fans and general interest listeners alike, going beyond the field to explore how sports, competition, athleticism, and adventure affect our lives and our world. In the recently released fourth season of the 30 for 30 podcast, you'll hear stories from the steroid-crazed MLB of the 90s, the cutthroat World Series of Poker, and the women's rights advocates of the 70s who changed the world of marathoning forever. For stories that remind us to never quit, that remind us to always give our all, and that remind us just why we love sports so much, there's no better podcast for you than 30 for 30. Here's a sample for you from the first episode of the fourth season. It's titled Juiced, centered around Jose Canseco's tell-all memoir, Juiced. The episode explores the world of steroid-era baseball and the firestorm that appeared in the wake of the book's publication.
Steroids quickly transformed Jose's physique. He put on 50 pounds of muscle in less than a year, and his newly enhanced body helped take him from minor league nobody to major league star.
And he started telling me about, you know, kind of behind the scenes and injecting other baseball players and this whole world of drugs in the baseball community.
Jose described being in tiny bathroom stalls, injecting teammates and showing them how to inject themselves. But with every detail he told Judith and her team, no one ever thought to ask why he was spilling baseball secrets.
I've, again, published so many thousands of people. I didn't get that this was a bitter guy. I really didn't. I felt that he was hurt, but I didn't feel that he was bitter.
I was fucking angry at Major League, but there's a difference. You know, upset doesn't blind you. Angry blinds you. And that's what I was angry. You fat fuck, time on the sword, all you do is fucking eat pasta and look like Humpty Dumpty.
Judith paid Jose for the rights to publish his story. And then it got passed to Daniel Neri. His boss handed him two folders with stories to go into the production pipeline.
One of them, it says, Mr. Big, and it's the memoirs of this guy who has a 13-inch penis. And the other one, it says, Juiced, and it is Jose Canseco, and he wants to do a tell-all about, you know, steroids and sports.
But Daniel could only choose one to get started with.
I was like, ah, oh, geez, let's see what's going on with this guy's cock, I guess.
Mr. Big was a book Judith optioned after she read an article in Rolling Stone magazine about the complicated life of the man with the world's biggest penis.
Come on, that's a fascinating subject.
The only problem was Mr. Big wasn't the happy-go-lucky guy winning in life that you would expect.
I mean, you had this guy who was sort of, you know, this maladjusted dude who had the luck or the misfortune of having a huge cock.
He became this kind of oddity and people wanted to look at it. You know, they just thought of him as a penis.
And the question was, is there a book here? And you could just tell if we had done a book, it would have ruined his life. Halfway through, we were like, all right, I guess we got to go back and see what this Jose book's going to do.
Regan Books was ready to write a book with Jose. But for the book to stand out, they needed something no one else in baseball had done to this point. They needed Jose to name names.
I spoke with Judith and she said, Jose, you've got to put names because no one's going to believe this to be true. And we won't print it. We won't waste our time printing this.
I think that he, like most authors, was reserved and didn't really want to name names. And people get very bashful about that. And they don't want to make enemies. And they don't want to hurt their buddy's feelings.
And I had lost sleep. And I had nightmares with one little devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other shoulder. The devil saying, do it for what it did to you. People need to know your story. The angel saying, no, don't do it. Forgive and forget. But you know what? The little devil won because I was angry at Major League Baseball.
So Judith gave the green light, and the real work got started. First up, find a ghostwriter. The man for the job, Steve Kettman.
I had to convince my agent that this was a good project for me. He thought that the, you know, unsavory aspect with Jose was a reason not to do it. And I said, this is going to be an important book. It's worth doing. And I'm the person to tell the story.
Steve was a sports writer based in Brooklyn.
As I watched what was happening in baseball in the mid-90s, when I was a beat writer for the Chronicle, I was, like a lot of people, alarmed. Clearly, a lot of guys were using steroids.
He was so alarmed that he wrote an article for the New York Times in the middle of the 2000 season. In it, he directly called out baseball for looking the other way when it came to performance-enhancing drugs.
I had really tried to get people just to open their eyes. I just felt that it was a huge story that such a large percentage of players in baseball were using steroids, and I felt the general public really had no understanding of what was going on.
Right away, Steve and Jose got to work. Kinda.
A sample of 30 for 30 from ESPN. Get all the greatest sports stories from the people who know how to tell them best with the 30 for 30 podcast, available on WVXU's Podcast Central. We're keeping up with the sports theme with this week's featured new addition to the Podcast Central collection. If you've got a favorite team in any sport, then you probably also have a rival. For Buckeyes fans, it's the Wolverines. For Red Sox, it's the Yanks. But why do these rivalries exist? Where does the bad blood come from? From podcast powerhouse Wondery comes Sports Wars, an electric new series that offers an immersive courtside look at some of the greatest athletic rivalries of all time. Join Sports Illustrated's Dan Rubenstein as he takes you from the grudge matches to the pranks, from the tantrums to the triumphs. He'll take you past all the bias to show you what really happened, who was right and who was wrong. It's up to you to decide which side to root for. Take a listen to this snippet from the first season of Sports Wars. The season covers the bitter rivalry between teammates Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, two quarterbacks from the Packers, whose battle for the starting spot gained national attention.
All right, let's go back to April 23rd, 2005. It's almost noon at the Jacob Javits Center on the west side of Manhattan, and the annual NFL draft is about to begin. There are thousands of fans here dressed in their favorite team's jerseys, and in some cases, they're even more excited about today than anything they saw on the field last season. That's because the draft is about hope. It's about potential. Sure, your team stunk last year, but you've got a top pick this year, and if they pick the right guy today, your Sundays could be blessed for years to come. Obviously, though, this is about more than pleasing just the most passionate fans. This room is the focus for executives and coaches from all 32 NFL teams. Their careers depend on picking and developing the right guys. In short, don't screw it up today, or you'll be looking for a new job this time next year. So, in the green room, behind the draft stage, the country's best college football players slide into cushioned seats, surrounded by their families and soon-to-be minted agents. At one of the tables, close to the wall, sits 21-year-old Aaron Rodgers wearing a crisp blue pinstripe suit and a confident smile. He leans over to talk to his agent.
We're still thinking number one, right?
It's either you or Alex Smith. My money's on you. You got the arm, you got the look, you got the hometown kid thing going on. It's an easy choice. Why do they want some guy from Utah when they can have the local legend? Rodgers tips back in his chair satisfied. He thinks so too. For the last few months of 2005, Rodgers has been analyzed and critiqued more than the latest iPod release. After two seasons at Cal, he decided to skip his senior year and enter the draft. Experts now see him as one of the top two quarterbacks in the draft, and there's one team that desperately needs a QB, the San Francisco 49ers. It's obvious. They've gone from dominant with Joe Montana and Steve Young at quarterback in the 80s and 90s to the literal worst by 2005. They need a cornerstone QB, but things won't change. So, Rodgers is sure he'll be a 49er, which would be his dream. He set records at Cal, just across the bay from the Niners stadium, Candlestick Park. He's been a lifelong Niners fan. Rodgers has dreamed of playing for them since he was an infant. Now, he's holding his breath and his flip phone, hoping to feel a buzz.
The first selection in the 2005 NFL Draft belongs to the San Francisco 49ers, who are now on the clock.
But as ESPN's Chris Berman and the gang of experts at the big TV desk talk about the pick, the phone still isn't ringing. That's weird, because the Niners seem to imply that Aaron was their guy. Was this flip phone even working? Maybe if he extended the antenna just a little bit in case.
Here comes the commissioner.
With the first selection in the 2005 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Alex Smith, quarterback, Utah.
Alex Smith? Rodgers can't help but roll his eyes a little, and the cameras catch it. It's clear he thinks the 49ers made a mistake. It should be him smiling on stage right now, holding up that number one 49ers jersey. And then he sighs, visibly disappointed. Anyone watching can see it all over his face. But he's got other chances. His phone will ring before long. Right? The draft moves on, and over the course of the next hour, three more teams pass on Rodgers. He's not shocked. They already had QBs. But Tampa Bay needs a quarterback, and they have the fifth pick. Their head coach watched Rodgers practice just a few weeks ago and loved him. Loved him. And the Bucks opt for a running back. Auburn's Cadillac Williams strolls across the stage with a smile on his face. Rodgers can't believe it, and it shows. ESPN's cameras hover around him like mosquitoes, hoping to suck a little more emotion out of him for the millions and millions watching at home.
Where, I'm going to ask each one of you guys, where does Aaron Rodgers get picked?
We don't, in this particular first
one round, team after another picks, running backs, linebackers, wide receivers, but no quarterbacks, and not Rodgers. Earlier, there were five other prospects in the green room with him. Now, it's just him and one other guy, but the cameras are now all locked on Rodgers as if to ask, what the heck must he be thinking? At least it seems that way, especially when ESPN's Susie Kolber makes eye contact and quickly motions to her cameraman for a tight shot of Rodgers.
A couple of weeks ago, Aaron, you were the clear-cut number one. What's changed over that time?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you.
Rodgers forces a smile, but inside he is dying of embarrassment and questioning everything. His phone buzzes. Maybe this is it, a coach from one of the teams about to pick. But no, it's just his friends from back home cracking jokes. But he doesn't laugh. He tells them, yeah, it's not real funny when you're the last one in the green room. So now, 3 hours pass, and as the picks move by, number 5, number 9, number 11, number 15, Rodgers is in free fall. Every time another name is called out, the cameras single in on him and his parents and his brother. Rodgers is trying his best to look both hopeful and unaffected, like he's playing it cool. At the 3 hour mark, Rodgers looks absolutely shell-shocked. Keep it together, he tells himself. Keep smiling. All the while, 1,000 miles away in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Packers general manager Ted Thompson can't believe what he's seeing. Sitting inside the war room at Lambeau Field, where the team's draft decisions are finalized, he's stunned. 16 picks in and no one has scooped up the most promising quarterback in the draft? When the day started, Thompson assumed there was no way Rodgers would be available by the time it was their turn. They had the 24th pick, for Christ's sake. As the commissioner announces the 18th pick, Ted Thompson starts getting really excited. Only 6 picks to go. He then motions to his boss, the Packers president, that he needs a word with him. If Rodgers is still there, I'm gonna take him. He's the top guy on our board. I never thought we'd get him. And there he sits. The only downside, we've still got Favre. Ted, what does your gut say? We're gonna catch some heat because Brett's playing so well and people are gonna say, you have so many needs at other positions. Why are you gonna take a guy who's gonna just sit on the bench? Ted, Brett is 35. It's your club. You do what you want to do and make the choice you want to make. We'll stand by you.
That was Sports Wars from Wondery. Hear the untold stories behind sports' greatest rivalries in Sports Wars, now available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Well, even this week's local feature is perfect for sports fans, but also for beer fans. It's called The Unruly Sports Fan, and it's a podcast for all the passionate, unreasonable sports fanatics out there. Hosted by Cincy residents Mike Kreger and Mike Rosa, The Unruly Sports Fan podcast dives headfirst into the world of sports, giving you insights into the latest headlines and game-stopping moments of the week. But their passion doesn't stop at sports. Each week, your news is delivered over a new craft beer the guys taste and review. Beer and Sports, it's the quintessential sports fan podcast. Here's a sample for you. The recent episode of the show covers the NFL draft. Kreger and Rosa take a look at the draft class, what moves teams will make, and what this draft will mean for the upcoming NFL season.
But first, we're going to introduce our Unruly Beer of the Week. So each week we review a different craft brew. We're going to be drinking it throughout the podcast. And at the end of the podcast, we're going to give you our full thoughts on this craft beer that we are sipping on. You want to share some good news here?
I was going to say, can I let them know what we're drinking?
Yeah, here you go.
It looks delicious, guys. This week our Unruly Beer of the Week is Devil Backbone Brewing Company. Again, I'm going to say that one more time. Devil's Backbone Brewing Company.
Does that
give you chills?
Boom.
I don't know why. It's a Vienna lager. It says it's mild toasted and has caramel notes.
You said caramel.
Yeah. Are you a caramel guy?
No, I was glad you said
caramel. It's Mount Caramel, so yes, it is caramel. Do we have to have our conversation about tomato, tomato, caramel?
I was afraid you were about to say caramel, and I was going to give you a weird look.
Well, I'm going to have to educate again about languages. No, we're not going to bore our audiences here. But anyway, guys, again, Devil's Backbone Brewing Company's Vienna Lager. Kreger and I are going to be drinking it throughout this podcast, but you guys are going to hear a sound throughout this podcast as well. And that sound is this. Whenever you hear that, Kreger and I are going to take a sip of this brew. I think we're going to enjoy it, man. But like Kreger said, we got to stay tuned to the end. You guys really have to stay tuned to the end because we've got a great beer review for you. Kreger, man, get it right this time. What do we got to do first?
What do you mean, get it right this time?
I don't know if you've got it
right. I get it right every time.
Sure. If you say crack it open, that means it's correct.
I grab the bottle opener.
Don't say sip or I'll kill you.
Whoa. Whoa. Everything okay?
This got really exciting.
We might have to do some podcast counseling.
Do you want me to open that for you?
I'm doing it slowly.
Oh.
I want to enjoy the process.
Okay.
You young millennials, all you do is just want to run and
you're
take
younger,
an Instagram
You're
picture.
Younger than I am.
I know.
What are you talking about? Good Lord. Did you smell that first? Oh, cheers, my man.
Mm.
You smell the caramel?
It's very caramelly.
Did I change? I just changed
no,
it up
I'm
on
kidding.
You.
I can't tell you that. Not
Ooh,
until the end.
Smells good. Oh, tastes good too, guys. Ooh. Once again, our Unruly Beer of the Week is Devil's Backbone Brewing Company's Vienna Lager. You guys should grab a beer and join us throughout this epic podcast. I just called it epic. I used one of your words.
Epic.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Awesome.
All right, man. Let's hop into the main event. You know what we're talking about today, guys. It is all about the NFL draft.
2019 NFL draft is here. Get excited.
Dude, I've got chills. I've been looking a little bit. I know you've been doing a lot of looking about what's going on. There's a lot of
buzz. There's so many things to talk about. Well, I think the crazy thing the offseason has been very exciting before we have even gotten to the draft.
I like that we're focusing on the NFL. Right?
Yes.
Isn't that great?
Oh, I love it. I love that.
I mean, we love, here at Unruly, we love all sports. We do it. We'll discuss all sports. We really will.
Badminton, cricket.
Yes, cricket especially. Rugby. Say that with me.
Rugby? Rugby.
You got to twirl the R.
I don't know if I can.
Rugby. Oh, that was bad. All right. Moving on. I guess we're not going to like rugby. We hate rugby here at the Unruly Sportsman. I love that we're focused on the NFL. And in this off season three, we're really taking a dive in the NFL. And the draft is so important to the NFL.
Well, I'm talking about the offseason of the NFL. Free agency has been crazy.
Oh, prior to, you're right.
Yeah, so it's been absolutely crazy, all these different moves. We saw some action from Le'Veon Bell, right? He's now on a team, so that's good for him.
He must have signed for like a ton more than the Pittsburgh Steelers were offering him, right?
Well,
isn't that what happened?
I don't think it exactly worked out how he was planning, but...
Wait, hold on. Did he sit out for an entire year?
He did.
And on the point...
dollars a game? $700,000, or was it...
He did very well, $800,000, something like that. He did very well, but, dude, he got less than what the original Pittsburgh Steelers offer was for him.
A sample of the local podcast, The Unruly Sports Fan, with Mike Rosa and Mike Kreger. Cover all your bases and stay in the know of the world of sports and craft beer with The Unruly Sports Fan podcast, available on WVXU's Podcast Central. It's chart time, our weekly encounter with the Apple Podcast Charts to see what's hot around the nation from iTunesCharts.net. Well, two new podcasts just debuted last week and immediately hit the top of the charts. The first is Lauren Conrad's Asking for a Friend. In today's social media culture, it's easy to look around and believe that everyone else has life figured out, but things aren't always as they appear. Each week, fashion designer, New York Times bestseller, and lifestyle expert Lauren Conrad hosts a variety of experts for candid conversations on everything from life, love, and business. Debuting at number one, Lauren Conrad's Asking for a Friend. The other hot podcast that debuted in the top two was the Chernobyl Podcast. It's the official podcast of the miniseries Chernobyl from HBO. It features host Peter Sagal from NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and the series creator, writer, and executive producer Craig Mazin. That's the Chernobyl Podcast, debuting at the top of the Apple Podcast charts. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more information about podcasts we like, check out Podcast Central at WVXU.org. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@WVXU.org. Or call us at 513-294-8030, and we'll add your voice to ours. For now, I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.